We're going to learn Daf Lamed Gimel in Masechtas Nedarim. We're going to start from the quote of the Mishnah on the bottom of Lamed Beis and the Beis. Just have to read those words of the Mishnah that are a quote. The Mishnah said, "Hamuider Meichel Mechaber Lo Yashilenu." So, right, actually, it's just a few lines above that is the Mishnah, the beginning of the fourth parak. The Mishnah tells us that there aren't really major distinctions between a neder that you make in general to make somebody aser b'hanoah versus a neder that you make when you say, "I'm not going to give you Meichel." Now, what we're going to spend some time on right now is figuring out what the word Meichel means, or what you mean when you say the word Meichel, and so on. But the point is, the Mishnah says that there aren't really a lot of differences, only except for those things that are completely unrelated to Meichel. And we're going to again discuss that at the last line right before the next Mishnah. So, on that note, let's get right into it. The Gemara says, so again, we quoted the words on the bottom of Lama Beis and Lama Beis. That takes us right now to the top of Lama Gimel Amud Aleph. So the Gemara starts as follows. V'ha min Meichel Nodar. So, in the Mishnah itself, it had given some examples of things that would be usher even if you made the neder from Meichel. And those things include a sifter, an oven, a mill, and things like that. So the Gemara is very troubled by the word Meichel means food. So why would even those pots, no matter how closely or not closely related those pots may be to the concept of food, but that's not what I made a neder on. So why should that be included in the neder? So Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish. So Rav Shimon ben Lakish immediately says, "Ba'omer hanos ma'achocha alai." When you say not food, just limited to food, but rather the hano of feeding you or feeding from you, that's what's going to be usher to me. So now, when it's the hano of food related, so now it includes not just the food itself, but it also includes the preparation of the food and anything that goes in to the preparation of the food. Or so the hana of the food. The hana of the food includes anything that the Gemara, at least at this point, thinks that it means anything that gets you to the food. So the Gemara says, one second. That's, if you want to be literal about what, now you're saying, we're changing what he said. He didn't say hanoas Meichel. He didn't say Meichel. He said hanoas Meichel. So if you want to talk about the hana of food, sa'ema shalo yilois chiten v'yiten al makosoi. So really, we could talk about other benefits that food has. For example, so nowadays, if let's say a kid gets a cut, what you do is you put bacitracin on the wound to cover it to make sure that it doesn't get infected and that it heals. In those days, what they used to do is they used to take kernels of wheat, they used to chew them up, and the saliva and the stickiness of it, they would put that directly on the wound to cover the wound, and that would keep it from getting infected and it would help it heal. Okay, so it's a natural cure. The point is that is food. That you're now using food in a way that is a benefit. So maybe that should be what is usher. That should be when I say hanos ma'acholcha aloi, the hano of food should be on you. So then it should include this type of hano as well. This is also a hano that is derived from food. It's not eating, and it's not what comes to mind when I think about food, but it is definitely a benefit from food. So maybe that's what I mean. The point of the Gemara really is asking this as a kasha in the sense that maybe that's what I meant, and I didn't mean the pots. That's why the Gemara is asking. Again, we're going back to the Mishnah itself. How do you know that it's not just maybe also? The Gemara is not asking that we should also include that the chitin, chewing chitin should be aser. Rather, the Gemara is asking it should be instead. Maybe that's what I meant when I broadened my statement by saying it's not just food, it's also the hanoa of food. Maybe I meant this, but it's still not related to pots, which is still not food. The pots are not food, or the oven is not food. So how do I know if the Mishnah is even referring to that at all? Or why does the Mishnah use that as an example based on what he would say? So Omar Rava. So Rava says, "Ba'omer hano hamevio lidei ma'acholcho alai." Not just that the hano of the food or from the food, but rather it's the hano that comes derived from the food, that brings it to food. Anything that brings it to the food is going to be included. So therefore, now we can include even any part of the process that is going to get you to the food is included in this nether. Okay, so that's why those utensils that are mentioned in the Mishnah are going to be included, because those things make it happen. The oven makes it happen. The sifting makes it happen. So even though in the Chiddush, as the Ran points out in the Mishnah, just to repeat, the Ran says that we're talking about it might be two steps removed. It's not the pot that's literally cooking the food, but it is part of the process that gets you to the food. But now that you've expanded your nether, it's going to include all those things that get you to the food as well. Now there is a Machlekes Rishonim over here that is important to note, but mostly, as the Ran points out, that this is not a machloikis. Rav Shimon ben Lachish and Rava are not really arguing. They're each expanding on one another, meaning in halacha, meaning in conclusion, that's the case of our Mishnah. In order to include the case, all the things that are mentioned in our Mishnah, we have to conclude like Rava concludes. However, Rava does not disagree with Rav Shimon ben Lachish that if I said Hanos Machocha Alai, that would include, for example, the chewing of the wheat to cover the wound. That would be Asur as well. So Rava doesn't disagree with Rav Shimon ben Lachish's limited conclusion, but he disagrees with what is the case of our Mishnah that would therefore include all the other things that are mentioned in the Mishnah. And I'm not sure, I'm going to repeat to make sure that I'm clear. Again, there's the big question over here that the Gemara is discussing is, what is the case of our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah says a Chiddush, because it says Michael and then includes pots, or then includes an oven. So, to answer that question, we have to answer ultimately like Rava, that the only way we can include all those things, that all those utensils that are listed to the Mishnah, we have to come up with this fancy lashon of Hano Hamaviyah Lidei Maichol Cholai. That answers the Mishnah. But along the way, we had the suggestions of Rav Shimon ben Lachish and Rava. Those suggestions and to the conclusions that the Gemara came out with of those interim suggestions are still correct. Meaning, if I do say Hanos Machocha Alai, again, it won't be the case of our Mishnah, but if I do use that Lashon, it will include, Rava doesn't disagree with Rav Shimon ben Lachish, that it will include extra Hanos, including the idea of chewing the wheat and sticking it on the person's wound. Now, the question then becomes an interesting discussion about who is chewing the wheat, who's getting the Hanos. Is the person that had the wound the one who's going to be Osir? Is the one who's chewing the one who's Osir? Okay, so that's an interesting discussion. But, in conclusion, we don't disregard and we don't throw out what Rav Shimon ben Lachish says, we just don't apply it to be the case of our Mishnah. Based on that, now that we're saying that everything, now that we're making the correct neder, and the neder is going to include anything, all steps in the process of bringing to the food, so the Gemara now has an interesting discussion. The Gemara says, Amar Papa sak lahavi peiros. What about the sackcloth, the bundle that you use to bring the peiros, the chamor lahavi alav peiros, and the donkey that's used to bring peiros? So Rabbah is actually not saying that as a papa rather, is not saying that as a question, rather saying that as a statement. Those things are included in the nether, because they are also making it possible, they're bringing it one step closer for you to be able to eat. Va'afilu tzina ba'almo. And even the basket that's going to hold, let's say you have the tomatoes, it's going to hold the tomatoes so that you can eventually take the tomatoes from there to eat them. Those are all included in the iser of this neder, that is, that you benefit because it's making it possible for you to eat the pears. Now, I add in one extra very important words here. It's taking it one step, making it one step closer. It's making it that much easier for you to achieve having these peiros for the sake of eating them. As opposed to the next cases that Rav Papa is going to ask, where they're not necessarily making it easier for you to achieve the peiros itself. So, again, that's an important distinction so that you appreciate the next line of the Gemara. Boy, Rav Papa, now Rav Papa asks, Sus lirchoy v'alov. What if you have a horse so that you can ride on it to get to the dinner? V'tabas liroyis boy, mahu. And what about the rings that you're going to wear? Let's say it's a black tie event and you have to be dressed very fancy in order to get into this restaurant in order to eat. So what about those rings that make it now possible for me to eat? Without those things, I cannot eat it. Now, it has nothing to do with the food. It has to do with my dress and my attire and my transportation, those type of things. That the question is that included in the nether as well? Meaning, If I'm the one who made the neder and says, I'm making a neder that you can't have hanoah of food, am I allowed to lend him my horse so that he can ride my horse to get there? Am I allowed to lend him my fancy gown so that he can go in to eat at the chasana? So, mao. And then lastly, the Gemara asks one more question. Mifsak umezo ba'are mai. What about letting him use my backyard as a shortcut in order to be able to get there? Now, this is an interesting one, because here also, he's allowing you to get to the food quicker. That could be viewed as one step closer to getting to the food. Now, he'll still be able to get to the food, but he'll just have to walk the long way around, as opposed to cutting through my field in order to make it quicker. So you are making it closer. On the other hand, you're not really making it accessible versus not accessible, because it was accessible all along. But again, those are the type of questions that Rav Papa wants to know. So obviously those things that are clearly part of the process, even if they're really just a tangential part of the process, and they do clearly bring the distinction between what Rav Papa asks versus what Rav Papa says as a statement is, though the first set of rules, like for example the basket that's carrying the payers, those things are affecting affecting with an A, affecting the payers directly. They're manipulating the payers. They're carrying the payers. So they're on the food itself, as opposed to you on a horse that's going towards the payers. So right, it could be the apple could come to you, or you could go to the apple. So the statement of Rav Papa that it's clearly usur is the apple coming to you. That's bringing the food to you. That hanah is definitely usur. But you now going to the, having a horse or having a cart to get to the apple, that is what Rav Papa asks as a kasha. So, on that note, Tashma, the Gemara wants to bring a riot. So our Mishnah, as you recall, gave examples of those things that if I made a general Isser Hanoh, so then these would be included. But if I only said that the Isser of food is Asser, so then actually these things, like your shirt, your talis, your rings, your nose rings and your earrings, whatever, those things are not included. Now, based on what Rav Papa just asked, the question is, what is the point that the Mishnah is trying to make with those things? Of course, those things, I tell you, a pencil. What does a pencil have to do with food? Clearly, so there has to be a connection here. So that's what the Gemara asks. Hey, chidami. Ilei mishaloi li rois bahen. If these cases are that they have nothing, that you're not going to be seen with them, tzrich lemeimer, so why would the Mishnah even list them? Of course, there's no question. There's nothing to do with food. Has no connection whatsoever to food. So why would I even think to make them usur? Why would the Mishnah need to even give them as an example? Elolav, it must be afilu lirois bahen. That when I give an example of the rings, I'm talking about rings that are going to make me all fancy, and now I'm going to be admitted into the chasana or to the restaurant or whatever. So then you might think, and that might be enough of a connection, and that would be a major chiddush in the Mishnah. That's mutter. Ukdani mashiloi, and it says that I could lend them to him. So we see that would be the exact, that would answer Rav Papa's question, because Rav Papa's question is, if I give you the thing to make it possible for you to get to the food, is that part of the Isra and the food or not? Now the Mishnah, theoretically, if that's what these cases in the Mishnah are meant to be, then that would be answering Rav Papa's question. So Gemara says, Loi. No, that's not really, those cases are not meant to answer Rav Papa's question. These things have nothing to do with the food. I'm talking about a shirt for the sake of just wearing a shirt to go outside. So since the ratio has a chiddush about those type of things that you can't lend them, which is a chiddush, so therefore we give examples of things that you can, even though there's really no major chiddush in those things that you can. We could have listed hundreds of things that have nothing to do with anything, and that's why they're mutter. But we're just, the end of the Mishnah is just being symmetric. And very often Mishnayos do that part of the Mishnah is saying a chiddush, so then we finish off to the symmetry of the Mishnah, so that if you say yes, I'm going to give you the examples of no, even though the no examples are really not a chiddush, because they're pretty straightforward. They have nothing to do with the neder that you made, and of course they're going to be mutter. So in conclusion, the Gemara is saying that really those cases are not a proof whatsoever, and therefore a papa is left with his kasha, can I give you something that will help you get to the food, even though it's not acting upon the food, it's acting, you're doing it so that you can get to the food, what would be the din? So the Gemara does not answer that question. To which the Ran just points out The Ran highlights and says, so now since we don't answer the question, the Ran says, it's a suffix and we go to Chumrah, so it would come out, according to the Ran, that these things would be usr. That it would be usr for me to give if I make an isr meichel. Now, of course, if I make a general isr hano, of course they would be included. That's, of course. The chiddush is that even if all I'm trying to do is prohibit the concept of food from you, these would also be usr. Because it makes it possible for you to get to food, and that's included in the nether. Great. Now, we're up to, that takes us to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah says, the chol davar she'ein oisin by oichol nefesh. So now, if we're talking about things that are not related to food, that don't have anything to do with the process of making food, so then, is it mutter or asr? This is still going on, the case where I made a neder that I'm not going to give you any food. Again, as Rav explained, that's my case. So it has not, when I made a neder about food, so all those things that don't have anything to do are going to be mutter. However, mokim shemaskirin ki yoitzavehen osur. But if it's the type of item that I normally would rent out as opposed to lending out, if it's the type of item that I would normally rent out and make money, and the fact that I want to now give it to you for free and not charge you, so let's say I'm a caterer and I have dishes and I have spoons, so that's an easy one because plates and things like that, that obviously you would think but even things that are unrelated. Let's say, for example, I can't think of anything that I would rent out. Let's say a truck. A lawnmower. So right, or a saw. Right, you can go to Home Depot and you could rent a saw for the day. Right, that's one of the things that they do. So since I could rent it out to you. And I made this neder that I'm not going to allow you to have any hano related to food from me. And you come and you want to borrow my saw. I cannot give you that saw for free without charging you. Because, the way the Ran explains, because if I give it to you for free and don't charge you, you now have an extra $10 in your pocket. And those $10 can be used to buy food. So if it's the type of thing that I would never lend out, so if it's a pencil, nobody charges money to borrow a pencil. So that I could lend you. That's fine, because that has nothing to do with food, and you're not making any profit or any benefit, any financial benefit from it. So then that would be totally mutter, because that's unrelated to food. But if it's the kind of thing that, even if it's not related to food, it's the kind of thing that I would charge you for, and now I'm willing, I'm moichel you, I'm a vater, and saying, nah, you don't have to pay for it because, okay, we're friends, that would also be included in the nether of food, because by not charging you, I'm putting more money in your pocket, and that extra money is going to be, we have to be concerned that it's going to be used to buy food, and that's what's included in my nether. It's going to be asr. That's the Mishnah. So the Gemara has one line over here. Michlal, the resha afa pi she'ein maskirin. That means those cases in the Mishnah, i.e., the sifter and the tanner and the mill, the oven, those things are, even if I wouldn't normally rent them out. Let's say I'm not the type of guy who would rent them out, or it's a small little thing that I wouldn't. You know, it's a little grill or something. I don't rent. Nobody who has a George Foreman in their kitchen is renting it out every time somebody wants to borrow it. What? Okay, so now, those things would be usr. Those things would be usr, even though I don't normally rent them out. That's the point. That is the diik that we're making. So these things are talking about things that I would rent out. But those things that I don't rent out, so then it depends on whether they're directly related to food or not. So man tana, who would be the tana of the Mishnah? Amar Rav Ada bar Ahava, Rabbi Eliezer he. So this would again be Rabbi Eliezer Shita, which we already established earlier in the Gemara on Lamed Beis Amud Beis. But again, the Gemara over here says that it's the same tana as Rabbi Eliezer says, that any time that if I'm the type of guy that's makbid on things, or in general people are makbid on these type of things, so then it's going to be usr once I'm in the category of an isr hano. Once I'm in the category of a neder, the type of our relationship now is I made a neder that's going to asr you, so I can't even be meichel those things to you, because as again the way we explained was that once I'm meichel, that means you're not paying that money. That's money back in your pocket. Money back in your pocket is money that you can use on food to spend on eating, and therefore that's included in the neder. Again, this is consistent with Shitas Rabbi Eliezer that we had earlier, that I'm not willing to give you anything. Anything extra is considered is a hano that is going to be usr. That takes us to the next Mishnah. So this Mishnah hopefully should be familiar with. You should be familiar with it because it's the same Mishnah that we quoted in Daf Kuf Zayin in Ksubis, which is not that long, relatively speaking, not that long ago. So the Mishnah says as follows. Hamudar ano mechaveroi. So now we're talking. The Mishnah beforehand was continuing on the concept when I was only asering eating, but we compared it to compare and contrast to the iser of hano generally. So this Mishnah goes back to the iser hano generally, and it says as follows: Hamudar ano mechaveroi. Even if I made a general neder that I'm not going to give you hano, shoykoloi es shikloi. I'm still allowed to pay your machzis hashekel. Okay, which means, as we all know, every year a person has to pay machzis hashekel to the Beis HaMikdash, which that money is then taken and brought as for the carbon sieber, usually for the carbon tamid, unless it's shirayim, but the point is primarily it's meant for the carbon tamid. So even though I said I'm not going to give you ano, it's still going to be mutter for me to pay on your behalf so that you don't have to pay. And the basic reason is, again, we can get into this, but the basic reason why that's mutter is because the reality is that you will be included as part of the tzibur and that the karbonos will be brought on your behalf regardless of whether I give the machzis hashekel or not. So you're not really, yes, it's true that now you gave on my behalf, I don't have to give the machzis hashekel, but the reality is the benefit that I get from giving a machzis hashekel, which is that I am now included as part of the tzibur for bringing the carbon tzibur, for bringing the carbon talmid, that would have happened anyway, regardless of whether you gave it, whether nobody gave it. The point is that I would have gotten, received the ultimate benefit from it anyway, so you're not really benefiting me in that regard. So that's why it's mutter. And also we're talking about one thing. Moving along, the next case of the Mishnah is Upoireas Choivoi. Now this is a more interesting case. I could even pay off the person's debt. Now we're going to discuss in the Gemara which debt we're talking about. But the point, but just assume a regular debt. This guy owes $100 to somebody. And the third person made a neder to say, I'm not giving you any benefit, well, I have nothing to do with you. He could still go ahead and pay off on behalf of his friend that he just fought with. He could go ahead and pay off his debt for him. We'll see why that's mutter. Umasur lo yavedosoi, and also he could return the aveda. Now this one's a little bit easier. I find somebody's wallet. I said I was not going to have anything to do with him, and then all of a sudden I'm walking down the street and I find his wallet on the floor. I'm able to return that wallet to him because I'm not really giving him anything. It was his wallet all along. I just gave him back what he didn't lose. I prevented his loss, but I didn't really benefit. I didn't give him that's not for purposes of a neder. When a person makes a neder, so you have to understand, of course, all of these things are a benefit. There is some level of benefit here, as the Ran does point out on Amud Beis. There is some level of benefit, but when you're talking about when a person made a neder and he said, in my neder, I'm not going to give you a benefit, we have to define what kind of benefit did he include. Did he include, right, sometimes we had cases earlier in the Masechta where it says the person, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to walk with you. I'm not going to hang out with you. I can make a neder like that. But when I make a general broad neder that I'm not going to give you hano, so then we have to define what kind of hano is every single little aspect of hano also. For example, is the person, and the Mefarshim actually do give this example, not here, but in other places. They give the example. Let's say I meant that I'm not giving you any hano whatsoever. Is the person allowed to walk, is allowed to walk by your house that has a tree that gives shade? So now, my tree is giving him shade, so there is a hano. So the answer is no, that's not included in the neder. Even when a person says, I'm not giving you any benefit whatsoever, they don't mean to include that kind of level of hana also. So the same thing over here also. So this is what the Mishnah is teaching us, that in general, when a person says that I'm not giving you hana, these type of hanas where I'm not really benefiting from you, I'm preventing you from otherwise having a loss, that is not included in the neder, and these are still mutter to do. However, the Mishnah does conclude and says, Mokoim shenoitlin aleas char, tipol hano lehektish. However, if it's a place where I would normally get a reward or get paid for the fact that I returned your aveda, that reward, and I'm learning the Mishnah in the simplest way right now because there are different ways to learn this, but that reward would have to go to Hekdash. So, for example, again, just to the example that we gave, if I find your wallet on the floor and I return it and your wallet had $1,000. So normally the custom would be chmeis, that the guy would pay you $100 for returning his wallet. So you're not allowed to take that. So now I can't be moichel that $100, because if I'm moichel that $100, this is the way the Ran, right, actually on the spot learns. I can't be moichel that $100, because if I don't take that $100, I now gave you a benefit of $100. It would cost you $100 that you don't have to pay. So the chiddush is, okay, so the Mishnah is saying, you're right, he still has to pay that $100, even though he's not going to give it to you because you don't want it for whatever reason. Or you also made a neder is another way to explain it. But the point is, you're not going to take that $100. So then he has to give that $100 to Hekdesh so that he is not benefiting, he's not gaining that $100. Because that would literally be $100 that he would take out of his wallet, and you're putting it back in his wallet. So he has to continue to take it out, and it's going to be much. Anyway, the point of the Mishnah is that these are things that I can, even though I said I'm not going to give you Hanoah, I can do things that will prevent you from losing. So putting you in a position where you're not going to lose is, by definition, at least the way, for our purposes, is by definition not considered giving you Hanoah. That's just preventing you from a loss, and therefore it's going to be mutter. To which the Gemara, that's the end of the Mishnah, when the Gemara immediately responds to that. Alma, so we see in these examples, Avruchi Ari Ba'almahu, that Vishari, that these things are just chasing away the lion, and therefore it's mutter. The example, the mashal of chasing away a lion is talking about where I have a herd of sheep out in pasture, and a lion comes and attacks. So, if I chase away the lion, now obviously the lion's there to take my sheep, but if I chase away the lion, I didn't give you a sheep. I prevented you from losing a sheep, because if I let the lion attack, it would have killed one of my sheep. Now it's not killing one of my sheep, so then I prevented that. That is not considered giving you something. That's just considered preventing a loss. Preventing a loss, and that's the point that the Gemara is saying. Alma, when we say Avruchi Ari, chasing away the line, Ba'alma, that's all it's considered, just chasing away the line, Vishari, and it's going to be mutter. So all those other things that you prevent from potentially getting a loss, that is going to, is that, that's not going to be in the, included in the Yisra. I know it's going to be mutter. However, now I'm just going to sticking to the basic pshat, even though the Ran does say both the shekel, machzor shekel case and the paying off the debt case, but sticking to the basic pshat, the point is when I pay off your debt, I'm really not giving you a benefit, I'm just preventing you from having to come out of pocket. So anytime you don't have to come out of pocket, that's not considered the kind of hano that would be usher in a neder. So mantano, who would be the tana that would hold like this? Amar of Hoshia Zu Divrei Chana. Now on the top of Lama Gimel Mbeis Divrei Chana. This is going according to Chana. So this is, as you recall, in Ksubas, the case over there that the Mishnah specifically was talking about, where you have a husband. Generally the rule is that the husband is supposed to take care of his wife. Now, and he's supposed to support her with food and so on. If the husband goes away, for whatever reason, he's not in town. And he did not leave his wife with any financial ability to take care of herself. Again, all this is depends on how you learn, but I'm just giving the general case. So the wife needs, while the husband is away, she needs support. So some guy comes and volunteers and says, okay, he's gonna give her the $100 in order for her to be able to go ahead and support herself in her husband's absence. So Chanon over there says that, and then the husband eventually comes back. Let's say he comes back a month later. So when the husband comes back, the guy says, oh, by the way, while you were gone, I was giving your wife money to support her, so now you have to reimburse me. Chanon says, too bad. No, I never asked you to give that money. That was your choice, that you decided to give it as money, and therefore I don't have an obligation to give it to you. The Bnei Kohenim Gedolim actually argue, and they say, what do you mean? If I was covering for the husband, when the husband comes back, the husband is going to be obligated to reimburse him. So this is the machlokes in the Mishnah in Ksubas. So the Gemara of Rav Hoshea is saying that this Mishnah, our Mishnah also, by the fact that it says that that's not considered a Hanoah, is like Hanan that's saying that also the fact that I, just like when I supported the wife and I'm paying off, so to speak, the husband's debt to his wife that he would have otherwise had to pay, the fact that I saved him from losing money is not, no, that's not, you, fine, so you saved me from losing money, but that's not giving me anything. So I don't have a chiv to reimburse you. Whereas, right, so that's that, the same thing over here also, anytime I pay off your debt, I'm not considered having given you anything in terms of giving you a hanoah. because I'm just making it so that you don't lose. Making it that you don't lose is not considered giving you a hano. And that's how the two shitas are going to be consistent. So, by the way, just as an aside, an interesting point, again, this is not our sugya here, but the mafarshim over here do discuss it. When the third party goes ahead and supports the wife, it has to be that he's giving her the money generally. If he's giving her the money specifically for her food, then he has no right to be toveyet from the husband. If he gives it to her general, if he gives her that, so it's only when he says, I'm giving it to you the food, that he has no right to, because then he's saying, I'm stepping in where the husband was supposed to do it, and the husband's not doing what he's supposed to do, so I'm covering for him. And Hanan says, okay, that was your choice. I never asked you to do it. I'm not reimbursing you. Whereas if he just gives her the money generally, then it is considered a loan. And if it's considered a loan, he has every right to get reimbursed for it. It was very interesting. So he has every right to be reimbursed for that money because he gave her the loan. So what happens is technically, yeah, so when he gives her the money, he's giving it to her as a loan because he's just giving her money generally. He's not saying for what purpose. I'm giving you money generally. It's like any other loan. Now the fact that you decide to use it to pay for your food, that's fine. That makes sense. But I'm giving you the money as a loan. So then the lender has a right to be Teveya, the wife, and the wife then goes ahead and asks the husband to reimburse her for her loan, and that's how he's going to get reimbursed. So again, the Mepharshim do say over here, the Ran points out that we're talking about that he gave her the money, that Hanan's case is that he gave her the money as for food. He gave her the money for the food, and meaning I'm stepping into the shoes of the father, of the husband. But if he gives her the money generally, so the money generally is considered a loan and he has a right to be reimbursed. That's the way the Ran learns. Okay, but all this is all according to Divrei Chanan. Rava Omar, Rava says, Afilu Teima Divrei Akol, I can make this Mishnah work according to every Shita, meaning even those Shita that over there would say you have to pay, because Gabe Muder Hano, Diyav Amanah Shaloi Lefroya. The case over here that we're discussing, that I said I'm not going to give you a Hano, and then I go ahead and pay off your debt, is we're talking about the type of debt that you aren't going to pay anyway. The way the Ran phrases it is that it's at the time you borrowed the money, the lender said, if you could repay, you should repay. I'm not going to be toveya you. When and if you're able to repay, that's when you'll repay. If you can't repay, I'm not going to be toveya you. So now, when some random guy goes and repays that loan, the borrower says, yeah, what'd you do that for? I was under no obligation to reimburse, to repay this money. So now since it's the type of loan that the borrower wasn't planning on repaying, that's not considered a hano. So this we could relate to because that's literally not a hano. You're not even giving me anything because you're not even saving me from coming out of pocket because I wasn't going to come out of pocket anyway. He was never going to ask for it. Okay, so that's the way the Gemara over here. The Gemara in Ksubas ends a little bit differently, but the Gemara over here, that's the way the Gemara over here says that according to everybody, so now paying off the chayv has to be the type of chayv that he didn't have an absolute obligation to pay it anyway. Okay, that's the machlokes. So the Gemara says, "My Chana, what exactly is the case of Chana?" So we already explained this, but the Gemara now says it. The time we learned in the Mishnah, Misha Alach LeMedina Sayyam, somebody, a husband went and he traveled far away, and he left his wife without support. V'amar Echad Upirnes Es Ishtoi, and some other person came and supported the wife in the husband's absence, and now he wants to get reimbursed. Chanan Omar, Ibn Esma Oysov. And Chanan says, okay, sorry, you lost your money, you have no obligation, because the husband is never asked him to do this, he volunteered, and he was essentially giving away the money for free, and he doesn't have a right to be reimbursed. However, the Mishnah continues, Nechleku Allah B'nei Koinim Gedoilim, the B'nei Koinim Gedoilim argued, V'omru, and they said, Yishova Kama Hoitzi V'yito. He can swear how much money he spent, and he has the right to take it back and be reimbursed. So this is the machlekes, and this is the machlekes that Rav Hoshea says, we're only going according to Chanan, because anytime I voluntarily pay off something, I don't have an obligation to I don't have a right to get reimbursed. And the Gemara Kohenim Kedoshim say, you do have a right. So the only way that our case is going to work, when it's not considered on us, is if it's the type of case where he wouldn't have had to pay, i.e., when the lender gave him the money, he says, if you can't pay, you can't pay. Okay. Now the Gemara says, oh, one second, the Gemara over there continues, Amar Rav Doisa ben Hercules, Kedivrayim, And Reb Doisa Paskin, like the B'nai Kohanim Gedolim, that they have a right to get reimbursed. Because what do you mean? What business is it? Obviously, if I'm stepping in here, I'm stepping in on your behalf. So when you come back, now you have to reimburse me what I laid out for on your behalf. However, Omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, but Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, no, Yofa Omer Chanon. Chanon is actually correct. It makes more sense. You don't get reimbursed. Why? Heniach ma'oisav al keren hatzvi. You put your money on the horns of a deer, and the deer runs away. What do you expect? If you put your money into something where you know it's a losing endeavor, it's a losing venture, you can't expect that, I did this, but I want to get reimbursed. That's not the way it works. So therefore, you too, you voluntarily put your money there. You have no right to have an expectation to be reimbursed. That's Chanon Shita. As again, as we already added the explanation, depends on how I gave the money and whether I said it beferish or anything like that. Again, if I said beferish, by the way, I'm giving you this money as a loan and I expect to be reimbursed, and clearly you're going to be reimbursed. If he was appointed by the husband before the husband left, also it's clear that he gets reimbursed. Those type of things are clear. It's all talking about where this guy just voluntarily gave her money, that then the question is whether it was given as a loan and he has a right to get reimbursed, or he knew that he was giving the money away and whatever happens, happens. Okay, now to finish off the Gemara, on this point the Gemara says, I understand why Rava, who says that he fits it in so that it works according to all Shitas, doesn't hold like Rav Hoshiyah, because he wants to make the case of the mission in a way that it works according to all the Shitas and not just limited to Chanan, which is a limited Shita. However, Rav Hoshiyah lo yomar k'Rava, why doesn't Rava say the case of our Mishnah is like Rava, that it's again specifically in that case where he meant not to pay back where he didn't have to pay back the loan? Obviously, it means in all the other cases, Osir says, because it's not true. Because Gezeira Shaloi Lipara Misham Lipara. Because if you're going to tell me that that's the case of this Mishnah, that the reason why it was Mutter is because he had no obligation to pay back this loan, we would actually, Chazal would have prohibited paying back that loan also, because you're telling me that when he does have an obligation to pay back the loan, he's obligated to pay. That would be awesome, right? You're telling me that if it was a case where you had an obligation to pay back the loan, let's say your mortgage, you have an obligation to pay back the loan, you're telling me, according to the way Rava learns, that everybody agrees that it's mamish asur to pay it back. If that was true, and that case is mamish asur, then the Chazal would have asked the case even when he doesn't have to pay back the loan. Because people are going to say, oh, if I can pay back this loan, I can pay back that loan. And they wouldn't be able to make a distinction. So we would have ended up saying that all loans are asur. Again, if we would have acknowledged, and we all would agree that paying back an obligatory loan is asur, we also would have paid asur, we also would have made it asur to pay back those loans you don't have to pay back. So Mamela, then you would never have a case. So you wouldn't have a case when it's mutter. So it must be, that's why Rav Hoshiyah says it must be that we're going according to Chanon. The Chanon doesn't care about that stuff. Chanon says I can pay it back because I'm not putting money back, avoiding a loss is not considered giving a benefit. Avoiding a loss is mutter, and therefore even paying back real loans are going to be mutter. So just so that you know, because there's a long discussion over here in the Ran. The Ran does discuss that this applies also even if there's a mashkin involved. So you might think that there's a difference. Again, let's say, so this would apply, so the mashal I always give is the mortgage. The mortgage is a good example because the mortgage is collateral over here. So when you have collateral, the question is, when I pay back your loan, so I am really giving you a tremendous benefit because right now, the bank holds the house. The bank holds the mortgage, the bank has a lien on the house. By paying off the loan, they're releasing the lien, they're releasing the house back into the possession of, now you seem to be giving something. So the Ran proves, based on Yerushalmi, that the Chiddush over here is that this case would be true, even if there's a Mashkin, because only the B'nai Kohanim Gedolim potentially in Yerushalmi make a difference between with a Mashkin versus not a Mashkin, but Chanon never makes a difference between that, and it would be a tremendous Chiddush now that, according to Chanon, it would be mutter to repay that loan, even in the case where there is collateral. So that would be a very important, and especially according to the Ran, that Paskin's like Chanon, so it would be totally mutter to reimburse, to repay that loan. Okay. Fine. Let's continue with the last piece of the Gemara here on the bottom. So that takes us to the two dots. Now the Gemara says, so the last case of the Mishnah was that I could return the Aveda, and then the Mishnah says, well, it also depends on if you were expecting payment, since you can't get the Hana, the benefit of that payment, you have to give that payment to Hektish. So Pligi Ba Rav Ami V'Ravasi. This happens to be a machlekes Rav Ami and Rav Asi. Chad Omar lo yishanu ela v'shenichzei machzir asurin abal aveda. So so you have to get the case straight. Who made the neder? Who's asur to benefit who? What's the case over here that the Mishnah is talking about that I can return the aveda? So one shita says it's when the person returning, the guy who found the wallet, is usur, I cannot give a benefit to the Baal Aveda. So now, Techima Hadar Lay, so now, I wasn't allowed to give him something, so obviously I can't give him $100. But when I return the wallet, and there's $100 in the wallet, made him the Nafshe Kuma Hadar Lay, the reason why it's mutter is because I'm not giving him $100, I'm returning his $100. It was already his all along. I'm just making it possible for him to have his own $100. So I'm giving him something I'm not giving him a benefit. I'm giving him something he already has. That by definition is not considered giving a benefit. If you getting something you already have is not considered a benefit. So Mamela, that's why it's going to be mutter. That is the way one shita learns. Therefore, to continue on the words of the Gemara, avonichse bala veda asurin amachzer. But if the one who lost it is not allowed to give benefit to the finder, loika mahader lay, then interestingly, then he's not allowed to return the wallet. Interesting. So when it's the person who lost the wallet is the one who's not allowed to give the benefit, that would be usur. That would be usur for me to return the wallet. You know why? To come ahanele pruta de Rav Yosef. Because I'm benefiting the famous pruta de Rav Yosef. The pruta de Rav Yosef is the fact that while I am taking care of an aveda, the halacha is Isaac b'mitzvah, pater min mitzvah. So now, if an ani would come over to me and say, "Could I have tzedakah?" You have the right to say, "Sorry, I'm busy with another mitzvah right now. I don't have to give you tzedakah." So now I just benefited from you because now that I didn't have to give the tzedakah, I now have an extra dollar in my wallet. So that benefit, by me returning the wallet to him, he's actually giving me the benefit of saving me from giving that extra tzedakah. Even though, right, because it's his wallet. I know whose wallet it is. I find it. It has Reuven's name in it. So Reuven's not allowed to give me anything. So if I'm going to be busy taking care of Reuven's wallet, it's going to save me from giving tzedakah in the interim. So that benefit is already enough that he's giving me money, and that's considered usur according to one shita. The Chad Omar, but the other shita doesn't. We don't know which one's Rav Ami and which one is Rav Asi. But the other shita is afilu nechsei bal aveda asurin. A machzer, even if no, the one who lost it is not allowed to give a benefit, mahadar lay, he can still return it. You know why? The fact that he's going to get that benefit of pruta de Rabbi Yosef is not considered enough of a benefit that would be considered a benefit. Now, there's a lot of different ways, the Mefarshim have a lot of different ways of explaining why it's not considered a benefit. Either because, it's very interesting, I'll give you two very simple explanations. Either because the likelihood of somebody asking you for tzedakah exactly during that moment that you're returning the wallet is unlikely to happen. It's lo shchiach. Literally the words of the Gemara. It's lo shchiach. So therefore, it's not shchiach. It's not frequent enough to be considered a benefit that would prevent me from returning the wallet. In other words, when I see this wallet, am I allowed to say to myself, "Oh, okay, I would love to return the wallet, but I can't"? Because if I'm going to be returning the wallet, I might get run into that situation where someone's going to give me tzedakah and I'm not going to give him, and that's going to be a benefit. So therefore, I'm not allowed to return his wallet. So it's like, no, you can't make that cheshbon. It's not going to happen that often that you're going to be saved from giving this wallet, giving the tzedakah, that I therefore can make the cheshbon. I don't have to return his wallet. I could still return his wallet, and it's not considered a benefit. That's one pshat. That's the way the Ran learns. The other pshat that I saw was very interesting is that the benefit is, it's not a real benefit because even though it's true, Isaac b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah, and while I'm taking care of his wallet and returning his wallet, I don't have to give tzedakah. The reality is that people don't use that excuse. That's what the Gemara says. The reality is, that's what these Mefarshim say. The reality is, if somebody asks me for a dollar while I happen to be driving or walking to return the wallet, I'm not going to say, sorry, I'm not giving you tzedakah. The reality is I'm going to give the tzedakah. So if I'm going to give the tzedakah anyway, even though I do have the excuse and I have the right to say that I'm not returning it because oisik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah, even though I have the right to say that, how often does it happen that I actually say that? And therefore it's not shchiach enough to be considered a benefit, and I still, again, I can't make that cheshbon. I can't say, well, I'm not allowed to give him benefits, so I can't return the wallet. I can't make that cheshbon. I have to return the wallet, and if what happens happens, it's fine. It's, you know, I'm not worried about it. But the last thing I'll leave off with for today is that, but what's important to note over here is, based on this though, the Gemara says this pruta de Rabbi Yosef is enough to make you a shomer socher versus a shomer chinam. Because the halacha is that when you find an aveda, and until you return that aveda, you now are watching it. You're now protecting that aveda from the rest of the world. So under normal circumstances, I'm protecting the aveda. He's not paying me for it, so I'm a shomer chinam. However, because of this pruta de Rabbi Yosef, because of the fact that I do have the benefit of saying to an ani, sorry, I'm not giving you tzedakah, that is enough that the Gemara holds this lemaskana. The Gemara holds the maskana that is enough to be considered a shomer socher. I am getting a benefit. I am getting a benefit, and therefore I'm in the category of a shomer socher versus a shomer chinam. Okay, so what's interesting, the distinction over here is, and this is what the Mefarshim grapple with, there's no question that there is a benefit here. Because it's enough of a benefit that I'm still considered a shomer socher. I'm considered having received reward for returning your, and therefore responsible for it as, for Gneva and Aveda, because I'm a shomer socher. But at the same time, it's not considered enough of a benefit that for purposes of an Isser Neder, Hanah, that would be considered enough of a Hanah, that's what I meant to include in my Neder, and I meant to include that Isser. So again, I want to highlight that point, because every time you make a neder and you use these words, we have to interpret what those words mean, what's included, what's not included. So even though halachically this is a shomer socher, it's still not considered the type of benefit that I would have assered, the type of benefit that when I made my neder, I included in the type of benefit that is going to be usher. And again, based on the conclusion, or at least according to the Shita and the Gemara, it's going to be mutter to return the wallet, and I can't use the excuse, oh, I don't have to give tzedakah, so I guess that's a benefit, so I'm not allowed to return the wallet because I'm getting a benefit out of it. So we'll stop over here, and we'll pick up with this next time.